Could we have your attention, please? We're about to start service. John, could you close the doors, please?
Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And we're so glad that each of us is here. For those who found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, we're located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who is looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and worship with us any Sunday morning. Everyone is welcome. If I'm not interrupting, the scripture appointed for this morning's opening is Psalm 25, taken from the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. And this is a plea for deliverance and forgiveness. Thank you. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks
be to God. Amen. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Oh, gosh, it's so good to be here this morning. I tell you what's really, really awesome. That breath that you have this morning, guess where that came from? That came from the Lord. Amen. Amen. The air that you breathe, that came from the Lord. Amen. Amen. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful about what the Lord has given us. And most of all, he's given us his Son Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we have a lot to be thankful for this morning. Amen. Before I go any further, let me I know we got a couple of visitors here this morning, and I just wanted to greet them and let the congregation see them. Okay. Chung, would you like to stand, please? Amen. And Linda, right? Amen. Amen. Those are our visitors. So make sure you make them feel welcome this morning. Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We give thanks to you this morning, O gracious and merciful God. How good you are to us. How you blessed us, even in spite of our wrongdoing, in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our disobedience. Oh, Lord, you still love us. And you prove that, Lord, by giving us one more day, one more time to worship you, to get things right. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing this morning on our service. We're not here for any form of show or anything, or any type of entertainment. We're only here, Lord, to worship you. To worship you in spirit and truth. And we ask, Lord, that you would accept our worship and that you would bless it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand at this time, wave at each other, greet each other. Amen. And then would you please, please remain standing for the affirmation of faith.
The affirmation of faith, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-6, and Colossians 1, 15-20, can be found in the bulletin or in the hymn book, UMH 888. When everybody has it, say amen.
Amen.
This is the good news, which we have received, and which we stand, and by which we are saved. Let the people say,
Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God,
the firstborn of all creation,
the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom all
God
was pleased to dwell. By the power of the Spirit,
Christ is the head of the body,
the church,
and by the
blood of the cross,
reconciles all things to God.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. You may be seated.
Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father all glorious, for all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword, our prayers attend, come and thy people bless, and give Spirit of holiness on us descend. Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear. In this glad hour, thou who almighty art, ever in every heart,
and near from us departs.
Please join me in prayer. Merciful Heavenly Father, we come today seeking your word. We come today to praise your name. We come with humble offerings from the bounty that you have given to each of us. We ask, Lord, that you take our tithes and our offerings, multiply them for your service. Help us to remember that there are so many in need.
Yes, Lord.
These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Listen for God's word. A scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you. Strengthen our Pastor Ted, that you give him your spirit, so that all that he says is from you. Let him put aside that which is personal and put on that which is godly.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, that we also receive your spirit so that we may joyfully hear the message that you would have for each one of us today, an individual message meant for our lives, and help us to take your word with us when we leave this place so that we can proclaim your glory to the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. While the children are coming, I just want to say thank you, dog. I had a dog when I was in the fourth grade. His name was Gingerbread. Gingerbread, he's a little bitty fellow. First dog I had, and he was the best dog ever. He was great. Me and that dog went everywhere. Anyway, one day I decided I didn't want to do my homework. So my teacher ratted me out to my dad. He told my dad I wasn't doing my homework. My dad came down to the school. He took off time from work and all of that. So I knew I was in deep, deep trouble when I got home. So here's what I did. I got home from school. I grabbed Gingerbread. And away we went down the alley. We were running off from home. Running away. You know, we ain't coming back. Nobody cares about us. You know, I'm not getting punished today. So down the road we go, and we hung out there, I guess. And the sad thing about this story is the dog was smarter than I was. The dog knew when to go home. So the dog left me. I'm sitting out there in the alley. The dog took off and went home because he was hungry. So I guess I better go home too. So I came home and I snuck through the window and I got into bed and I just laid there like nothing had ever happened. And boy, when they came home, I just got, I tell you, I was a celebrity. I was on TV and everything. But I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying, that dog was smarter, a whole lot smarter than Ted. Amen? So don't you ever think that your animals are dumb. They're not. Yeah, they're pretty smart. All right, there's my story. Amen? Amen. Our sermon today is about freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. And I got to tell you, folks, the Apostle Paul is doing some great teaching here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And he is pointing out some very important things here. And I went through those before, but if you have your Bibles, I want you to mark these things for me this morning, because he's going to point out he's going to give us three specific commands about the freedom that we have in Christ. And one of them is, and it's in verse 5:1, is you've got to stand firm. Stand firm. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. And the second one is don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In other words, don't go back into that mess you were in. And the third point that he brings out is serve one another in love. Now, those first two points come from Galatians 5:1, and that last one comes from Galatians 5:13. A lot of us, we think about freedom in terms of things that we're allowed to do, because we know in this country we've got laws in place that grant us freedom. And as Americans, we've even got a constitution, and we've got amendments. We've got things that guarantee freedom and rights in our lives. And yes, it's great, and it's worth celebrating these freedoms that we are very, very fortunate to live where we are and to experience the life that we can. But as followers of Christ, we are called to experience a higher freedom. I'm free from a life of sin and bondage. I love that. I love that, because that freedom means that we don't have to fall back into what we used to be. And we are free to live our days in faithful response to the reality of the risen Christ. You can live your life today as a believer in freedom, knowing that Christ is coming again and that he loves you very much. We got to learn. And first of all, we've got to learn to stand firm in Christ. And this stand firm comes from our brother Paul again in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 6:10 through 17. These are a wonderful verses about how Paul encourages us to stand firm. And if you would, go there with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. I know you brought your Bibles with you, so go there with me and let's take a look and see what our dear brother is saying this morning. Ephesians chapter 10. And this is the great teaching on standing firm in the armor of God. 6:10, Ephesians 6:10 through 17. There we are. Well, I thought I had it marked anyway. Ephesians 6:10 through 17. Listen to what Paul is saying here in his word. Pages stuck together. Okay. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand there firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the gospel, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you see in these passages, Paul elaborates on the spiritual component of our battle with sin, death, and the enemy. And he encourages to that we must learn to stand firm against all the plans and purposes of the enemy in our lives. You see, we've got a very real enemy, dear ones, in this world. He's an ancient enemy, and he is directly opposed to the cause of Christ and to the church. Every time you get ready to do something for the Lord, there will be him. He will stand there and try to oppose you to keep you from doing it. So we have a very real enemy. But we are set free in Christ from his power. We have that freedom in Christ. We don't have to live in bondage and fear of him. We are set free from the lives of sin and death. We are free to stand firm in our faith against the lies of the enemy, who is constantly seeking to get us back into our old former lives of darkness and death. And we don't want to go back, and the Lord doesn't want us to go back. He wants us to always go forward in our faith. Never go backwards. Never. Always move forward. We can face all temptation, and we all struggle from time to time with problems. You know, we have to go back in our former way of life. If you're honest, you know, all of us, I would imagine, struggle with something, one way or another. Something that keeps trying to pull us back from where we came. Some sin, some habit that we just can't seem to get rid of. But yet, the Lord tells us we don't have to be a burden, that we don't have to be chained to that. We have freedom in him if we would stand firm in him. That second point that I want to talk about this morning is that it's don't go back. Do not go back. You see, all of us here have experienced true freedom in Christ. We've been set free. We're new creations. We're citizens of a new kingdom. In Galatians 5:1, Paul is pleading with the church to remain free, to resist temptation, to go resist the temptation to go back to the former way of life in sin and bondage. In this case, in this context, what he's telling the church at Galatia, they were people had come in, Judaizers had come in and tried to teach them the law and tell them that their faith was based on the law. And Paul was telling them, no, no, your faith is based on belief in Christ, belief in Christ. So he had to write this letter to get to set the people straight so they can know, you know, what's right and what's wrong. Now, sin is an awful thing to go back to. When you go back, Proverbs tells it like this in Proverbs 26:11. It says, sin, going back to sin and what you used to do is like a dog that returns to his vomit. It says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. We don't want to go back and do those things. We want to go forward. It's awful. It's like a dog returning to his own vomit. And yet, if we're honest about things in our life, we all realize that there's a temptation to return to sin and bondage. You know, and that's why Paul is telling us to stand firm. And then he goes on to say, don't let yourselves be burdened again. You know, our debt has been completely paid, dear one, by Jesus. You see, we don't have to go back. We have been set free. You see, in Colossians 2, 13 through 14, it says, your sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Galatians 2, 20 starts off by saying, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And as a follower of Christ, you and me are alive in him, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to a life of purpose, of meaning, and a righteous work of love. Our third point is this: serve one another. Serve one another. This freedom means that we can serve one another. Now, I've heard it said by other preachers before that we are not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. And as I think about today, the debt that our Lord paid on our behalf, I'm inspired to live a life that is worthy of the sacrifice that our Lord gave. You know, some of us use our freedom in Christ for selfish reasons. We think we can do whatever we want to in his name. But the truth is, dear one, is that we have been called specifically to love one another. In Galatians 5, 13 to 15, it says, for the entire law is fulfilled in one command: love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're called to do, dear. If you ever wonder, what's my purpose? It's to love one another. Both Jesus and Paul are asking us to simply love one another. And that's easy to say, but I got to tell you, folks, it's something that we must do. And we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this. So I would ask you this question this morning. What if we really tried? What if we really tried to be a real loving and kind person this week? What if we did some things that we just seem out of character, but we were kind to people, we were loving to people, we helped people? You know, coming this week, I would make it a point to do something in that nature. You see, and learn to live by the laws of Christ, and that is to love one another. And that the last part of that verse says, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. But he follows it up by giving us the alternative: if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I wonder today, what would you rather be about, love or destruction? You know, in Christ, we are free to be a person of love. You see, now we serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God, and he stands ready to help us and give us the power that we need to love and to walk through this journey and to be on his side. Think about being a loving neighbor and a faithful witness to Jesus in your community. And as you follow Jesus through life, I want you to remember these three commands that Paul gave us today. Stand firm. Don't be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And serve one another in love. You are free to be fully known and fully loved by the awesome creator of this universe, our Heavenly Father. Let us go out. Let us go forward from here, determined that we are going to use that freedom in Christ that we have to learn to love and to serve Christ, and not for selfish reasons. And remember this, dear one, remember, only what's done for Christ will stand. Amen? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Help us, Lord, to use our freedom for good and not for evil. Help us to love like you love and to care for the people like that you placed around us. And thank you for setting us free from sin and death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we prepare for our invitation this morning, this freedom that we have in Christ is awesome. But that freedom can only come if you're in Christ. Amen? if you know him. If you know him. If you don't know him, then you are at the mercy of the evil one. But if you know the Lord, then you have that freedom to learn, to love, and to live as Christ wants you to live. The invitation goes out to anyone this morning who may not be in right with the Lord. You may be on the other side of the mountain, on the other side of the fence, so to speak. I want you to be on the right side. I want you to be on Jesus' side. You see, folks, in spite of what folks tell you, there's only two ways in this world. That's God's way and the enemy way. Amen? There is no in between. There is no middle ground. You're either for him or you're against him. So this morning, the invitation goes out to anyone who may not be sure that they can come and know for sure that you have that freedom in Christ. And if you have a confession to make or if something is on your heart, the invitation stand is open to anyone that comes. Please stand.
Our invitation in this sweet hour of prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at his Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found
them in your prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. awesome God he reigns. From heaven above with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God.